90 AM.
Le ciel bleu sur nous peut s'effondrer.
For CJLO News, I'm Donald Roberge.
Listening to the Gary and Barry Show, also known as The Get Up, on CJLO 1690 AM. It's Montreal's favorite radio program. I'm here with my old friend Gary. Gary, what's news with
Barry, you? Barry, how are you? The weather's looking excellent. It doesn't feel so, but I'm loving it.
It's a little cold. It's a little frosty, but it's another beautiful Friday here in Montreal.
That it is, Barry. I'm very excited that we got the opportunity to come in, pop on the show from Long Island for the weekend, replace Julie and Liara as per usual, and have a really good time with all of you.
We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to The Gary and Barry Show, CJLO, 1690 AM.
You got it.
CJLO in Concordia University sits on the traditional territory of the Mohawk or the Ganegahaga people. The island called Montreal is known as Dadake in the language of Ganegaha and has historically been a meeting place for other indigenous nations, including the Algonquin people.
All right, Barry, you want to start us off with some weather this morning?
Absolutely, Gary. It is minus 10 here in Montreal. We're getting to a high of minus 4 today. Sunny right now, but a bit of clouds in the forecast later with a bit of snow this evening. So put your jackets on, put your sunglasses on. The spring is not here yet. We've still got a few more days. We're going to get up to highs of plus 2 this weekend, lows of minus 8 on Sunday.
Barry, would you say it's true that they call it third winter here in Montreal?
I mean, I can't even keep track anymore, Gary. It's changing every day. It's like the 20th winter.
The third, the fourth, the fifth. Who's counting anymore? I understand.
It's too much. It's too much.
Well, maybe we should talk about some traffic because I know some people were getting on their bikes and now they're probably getting off because it's a little cold.
Yeah, I'm a biker, as you know. I'm a big bicycle advocate, but I'm a cyclist, if you will, but I couldn't handle it today, Gary. It's far too cold.
Well, listen, Barry, what I'm telling you and what I'm telling all of you listening in your cars, as you probably know, you're sitting in traffic if you're on DeCary, going north and south. Honestly, it's just busy. Otherwise, we don't have any major blockages, major shutdowns this morning, so traffic should be smooth. Thank goodness that we don't have any snow on the ground because the bike lanes are open still.
We're going to do a bit of news and review this week. This week marks 1 year cutting my lips on soda cans.
Well, Barry, For more context, that's because Montreal is celebrating, quote-unquote, its anniversary of banning single-use plastics in food stores and restaurants. They said that 92% of inspected establishments opted for these eco-containers. How you coping with this one, Barry?
Gary, you know, I understand there's a problem with the environment. I can support these ideas, but on a personal level, it's been a challenge. I'm not going to lie. I'm an advocate, if you will, for plastic straws. Not an advocate, but plastic straws and I go way back in time.
Listen, I'm all for the environment, but I did not ask for those Oreo sippers every time I order a pop. Do you know what I'm putting down?
I'm picking up what you're putting
down,
Gary.
You ever try those Oreo sippers?
I'm not actually... Walk me through that. What are you talking about?
This is something I remember from my childhood, you see. You'd open up a pack after school. It's an Oreo shaped like a straw. You put that in your milk, and it decomposes in the drink and in your mouth.
And when you put that in a can of pop, it's disgusting.
It's not
doesn't
good,
work.
Barry.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
It's just for milk. And, you know, when I'm ordering my Diet Dr. Brown or my Cott's Black Cherry... I'm not used to drinking straight from the can. That's not from my time.
It's certainly a different sensation, that's right.
And that little cap right on the can where you can fit a straw perfectly through the hole. What's the use now?
Gone are the days. I understand, Barry. Especially those times when you put one of those spoons, you know, those wooden spoons.
I was just about to talk about that.
It's like nails on a chalkboard.
The wooden spoon, it just becomes a shovel. It's just a flat. It doesn't work. It's
it
hardly
just
a spoon.
Work.
It's just a wet, wet pulp.
It is. You've nailed it. You've put the tail right on the donkey, Gary. Barry.
Gary, are you possessed?
Listen, sometimes we get confused. We've got a bromance dating back decades. But we are really happy,
Gary,
for the zero plastic quota that will hopefully be reached by 2030.
Of course, because as we've also noted, our weathermen say that this year was the warmest winter in 77 years. Gary, you could probably tell us what that last warm winter was like, couldn't you?
Gary, I think you're old enough to know what that was like. I think you've been around that long. Am I not right?
You're wrong. In fact, you're wrong, but...
I'm wrong.
I understand you. I understand the joke is that we're both a couple old geezers.
Some people would call us old geezers, but what I just gotta say is, just for all of you listening, they say the spring will bring a mix of terrible weather. Things like we've seen today. Sunny skies, wind... A little bit of snow. A little bit of fire. Well, that's on a much darker note, Barry, and we will be continuing to talk about that as the season heats up. Barry, I know you like to laugh.
Of course.
But unfortunately for you and for all of us, just for laughs, it's going bye-bye.
It's tragic.
Can you tell us why?
Well, the parent company also co-partnered with Bell... has filed for bankruptcy for the festival. We didn't see it coming.
It's too terrible.
Gary, I've been going to Just for Laughs since I arrived in Montreal all those years ago. And it's really... Comedy is one of these things that, you know, it's very hard to put yourself out there. It's very tragic. I don't know if you know this story, but Bill Watterson... The cartoonist who wrote Calvin and Hobbes. He worked as a grocery store bagger for years and years, living in his mother's basement, trying to make a name for himself.
He did. He did not.
He did. He sure did. You wouldn't believe it. Such a talented young man. Nobody recognized it. For years and years, he would just put himself out there, face rejection after rejection after rejection. And one day he was picked up and he became one of the most famous cartoonists in the world. But we learn, you know, we thinking about comedy, it is filled with tragedy. It is filled with hardship, which is part of what makes us laugh. But
yeah,
it's the same story in Just for Laughs.
I guess so. A lot of things may end in tragedy. And this is just something we've got to cooperate with over time. All right, bye-bye just for laughs. But hello, a new defamation case.
There was a defamation lawsuit recently won by Montreal musician, I guess, DJ Snails. He makes...
Are DJs musicians, Barry?
Well...
What are they saying these days?
These days they say yes.
Excellent.
This is a new... But
this I can accept.
They say yes. It's new. It's a new form, but...
It's a new form.
It's music. You know, people... There's concerts involved.
Understood. Of course.
But this... I don't know about this. This musician, his genre, he describes... Vomit step.
Oh, my goodness,
vomit
Barry.
Vomit step. Do you know what that means?
What does that mean?
It means there's the kind of gurgling sound in the music. It's kind of disgusting.
Okay.
But anyway...
What's this called? Vomit step?
Vomit step.
I used to do this when they had straws. No more. Gone are my days. DJ Snails, where are the straws? So what happened with this case?
He wouldn't know. He won $1.5 million in a defamation suit against a woman in California, Michaela Higgins, because she made an Instagram account compiling sexual assault allegations. They never met.
They never
this
met.
Woman, Michaela Higgins, and Frederick Durand is his name. Well, DJ Snails, but Frederick Durand,
right.
Quebecois man. And she didn't have a lawyer. He did. There were nine allegations. A few of them were proven false, and she couldn't defend the rest. She didn't have a lawyer, so he won $1.5 million.
That's not something you usually see every day.
It's not. He's trying to build back his career.
Understandable. That's our news and review. You got any final notes?
Final notes? Well, it's Purim this weekend in Montreal.
That it is. It's the time to celebrate or maybe hide your identity by dressing up in a new one. Only to eventually come out of the woodworks again. Maybe this is why Barry and Gary have been invited into town. We'll have to ask Liara when she gets back.
Which will be next week.
But for now, we're going to take a little bit of an ad break.
We're going to throw it to some music. We're going to hear news. This program from Katie Brady, our in-house reporter here at CJLO. You're listening to Montreal's favorite radio program, The Gary and Barry Show, on CJLO 1690 AM.
We will be back after some ads.
In mid-October 2023, Quebec's government announced that they will be manually increasing English university tuition rates for out-of-province and international students starting in fall 2024. Originally, the Minister of Education attempted to double tuition rates. But because of student and administration pushback, the hike was reduced to only 30%. Wait, hold on. Only 30%? That's $12,000 for out-of-province students and still a minimum of $20,000 for international students. We don't have that kind of money.
This tremendous tuition hike impacts all Concordia students, regardless if your tuition is getting hiked or not. Concordia will be losing money from a projected lower enrollment rate, resulting in class cancellations, department closures, and fewer funds for extracurricular funtivities. This will even impact Montreal's businesses with a deepening of the labor shortage and shrinking customer base, because there will be a 60% decrease in students coming to Quebec.
Does this make you frustrated? Yeah, it should. Students are mobilizing to fight against the tuition hikes using the symbol of the Red Square, popularized during the impactful 2012 student strikes. Red Squares are available outside the CSU office in the Hall Building for you and your friends. I encourage you to reach out to your student association if you're a student at Concordia or McGill, and to follow us on Instagram at Tuition Strikes. Together, we can stop the hikes and demand free education for all.
For this upcoming International Day of Forests, Cinema Politica invites you to the theatrical release of Sylvie Cola, opening on March 22nd. The director, Jean-Philippe Marquis, will be in attendance for discussion after each opening weekend screening. At a time when the planet's old-growth forests are threatened as never before, Jean-Philippe Marquis has crafted a dazzling and unsettling film essay on forestry practices in the Pacific Northwest, home to the world's tallest trees. Juxtaposing sublime aerial imagery with verite workplace footage, he meets people whose livelihood is connected to the forest economy and culture, tempering a critique of neoliberal forestry practices with an up-close understanding for people who labor within the system. The opening weekend of Silvicola will take place at Cinémathèque Québécoise and Cinéma Public, with screenings starting from Friday, March 22nd. For more information, go to cinemapolitica.org/film/Silvicola. We hope to see you there.
You're listening to The Get Up on CJLO Radio 1690 on the AM dial. I'm Barry. We're with Gary. And right now we're going to be listening to some news produced by Katie Brady with the Local Journalism Initiative. And we'll be back after this.
We've seen the complete failure of the international community to stop the unfolding carnage in Gaza. And we are dismayed by the failure of Canada's Liberal government to stand up for what is right, for the rule of international law, for humanity.
Federal NDP member Heather McPherson tabled an Opposition Day motion on Monday, a watered-down version of the motion which called for Canada to recognize Palestinian statehood and called for a ceasefire in Gaza passed this week. But amendments made by the Liberal Party cut several key aspects, including the recognition of statehood and an outright ban on military exports to Israel. The motion isn't legally binding, and it's been met with backlash from within the Liberal caucus. Mount Royal MP Anthony Housefather called the motion anti-Israel, even telling reporters that he's unsure he sees himself with the Liberal Party anymore. Palestinian rights and Muslim groups in Canada have met the news with a range of responses. Some say it's been drastically softened, and others feel it's still a meaningful step. Stephen Brown of the National Council of Canadian Muslims spoke to reporters Tuesday in Ottawa.
Today, many are proud to be Canadian, because today, to be Canadian means to stand for the application of international law, recognition of all human rights, and the pursuit of justice and peace. Now, why does that matter? I think you heard it from members yesterday, that as Canadians, we expect to stand for human rights. And what is happening in Palestine right now, with the slaughter of thousands of children by the extremist Netanyahu government, stands as a grave threat to our rules-based order and our democratic institutions.
The NDP's Charlie Angus continued to press the issue of military exports in Parliament Tuesday. The news comes the same week that a UN-backed report predicts imminent famine for 1.1 million people in Gaza this spring. Neither Anthony Housefather or Anna Ganey, Liberal MP for NDG, have responded to CJLO's request for comment. In Montreal for CJLO, I'm Katie Brady.
Ask your reaction when you got that news. It was a Monday morning. Was it a surprise to you, or did you feel it was about to come?
It was definitely a surprise, but like, hey, of course it's good news, but it was definitely a surprise. And I was ready to like see what the month it would be.
Sorry, pardon? I didn't catch the last thing you said.
Yeah. I was ready to see what the month it would be. Like, I already had a first draft on my proceedings.
Okay, wow. And what do you think this says about Quebec, that we were the last ones to make this available on regular IDs people use every day?
It's that for this government that trans and non-binary people are not a priority. Remember, we're talking about a government who, like, for whom, like, we're very much not part of their voter base. So it means that they just get away with neglecting our needs, even when they concern our fundamental rights. Mm-hmm.
And it's been over 3 years since the Moore ruling. What else are you and Jury Trans looking at? I can only assume this isn't the last action you'll need to take. What's on your horizon, I guess, in your work?
There's a lot of anti-trans hate like being also pushed to the courts. Like, we're planning right now to attack that. So definitely I'm preparing to like take action to. I'm preparing to take action with regards to different like attempts that anti-trans actors have used in order to like bend the courts in their favors. I'm thinking of also like potential like of Bill 21, of how that's going to impact trans people. So a lot of like going after type work like this, and just trying to determine like where there's opportunities to like further defend trans people while being through courts. Of course, like I can't give much details yet because nothing has been finalized.
Right.
What I would say the biggest priority though is definitely, and by a pretty wide margin, it's just making sure trans people have access to justice, because right now that is not the case at all. So we're currently thinking of like how that can be done, and one of my plans right now is specifically with regards to that, making sure we have like services that making sure that there are more accessible services that allow trans non-binary folks to access like legal, like quality legal services, even if it's limited in extent.
And I saw in the email campaign, when I signed it, there were a lot of people that the email campaign went to. And I'm wondering, from opposition parties, did you have much support from them, obviously before the news came out, like the Liberal parties or Quebec Solidaire, or were any of the parties a little more helpful in working with you, or do you feel are better aligned with trans rights in Quebec? Are they just kind of there as, you know, the opposition critic type thing? Do you see what I'm saying? That was a badly worded question. Besides the cap, are any of the opposition parties better in terms of advocating for trans rights in Quebec, I guess is my question.
Well, by far, I think, and actually, that kind of Quebec Liberal Party, I will say that they have been, like, flawed in many degrees, in many ways. Like, they're not perfect by any means, but they have been doing good work with regards to protecting trans people, like, at least defending things where it matters the most.
Right. And how can the general public support your future campaigns with Jury Trans? And also, am I pronouncing that right? Jury or Jury? How would I say that on air?
Jury Trans is okay. It's like, it's a French name I use in English as well.
Okay, great. So how can members of the public support your next initiatives, or even just people in their community and grassroots sort of initiatives?
I'm speaking external support, but I definitely stay tuned, because like this summer is going to be a pretty big one for us here. And of course, in the meantime, if you ever know anyone who needs help with a name change or gender marker change, I still offer my legal clinic as like one of our primary services here for like support name changes. But otherwise, there's also a lot like with regards to just making sure that there's going to be more work being done this summer as well. And of course, on a more personal note, I'm all called like the Trans March, like all these other initiatives. So of course, that's a possibility.
Right. And I spoke to, I had a first-person source, actually a friend of mine who they use an X marker and they're very excited about the news. And they said that there was an aspect about RAMQ that they would, they're a little worried to see how it works with RAMQ, they said. Yeah. For example, if I have to access medical services that are considered female, they're worried about that. And are you, like, with people being able to apply for the X marker now, are you kind of anticipating similar things there with either licenses or healthcare cards?
Sally, yes, true, at least a certain degree. Because one of the issues that we're seeing here is that people are worried about the possibility that they're still going to have, like, sex-assigned birth coding on, like, various pieces of ID. What she's thought been an issue with, like, the Ministry of Education was seeing, like, such sex-coded IDs being abolished. But it might be a case for the RAMQ card, and that's something that a lot of folks are worried about right now.
Right, right. Yeah, definitely. I'll be looking out for that. Those were all my questions about this particular moment in campaigning in the news. Is there anything else you'd like to mention about your work with Jury Trans or anything else before I let you go?
I'd say, of course, it's challenging work. Like, you know, you work on marginalized communities and you're like trying to make sure that you're like offering appropriate services and all that. It's like, it is of course a challenge, but like it's something that I handle very proudly, and I'm happy that I'm able to do all this work, which is very important for our respective communities.
Right. Yeah, that's what my friend, my source was saying. They've been in advocacy for a long time, and they were saying, for them, they know how to navigate all this stuff, and they're very willing to do it. But
like, not everyone they can do this, you know?
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. With language, with access, with yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you for taking the time to speak with me today.
A week after reminding Premier Legault about shelved shelter development projects, Quebec shelter associations have been left without answers, despite government commitments made in 2021 to open new facilities. Maude Pondel from l'Alliance des Maisons d'Hébergement de Deuxième Étape criticized the government's inaction amidst rising domestic violence.
Like, what we know is that, like, in 2021, the government, you know, like, made a promise about, like, creating new spaces and new units of second safe shelter. And the only thing that we're asking is that, you know, like, go ahead and, you know, like, make it concrete and real.
Shelters are strained past capacity, and the SOS Violence Conjugale hotline in the province reported it's turning away 45% of women who call needing immediate housing.
They can't refer them anywhere because the shelter, the emergency shelter, are full capacity. And when we are looking at our numbers in a second stage shelter, like our rate of refusal is close to 60%. So when it comes to, you know, like the continuum of services, if there's no new places, the continuum is crumbling.
Louise Riondeau, political coordinator at Maison Femme, spoke to reporters Thursday morning. She said every tragedy a shelter worker faces brings a lot of what-ifs.
Mais chaque fois qu'il y a une femme qui meurt, on se dit, est-ce que c'est une femme à qui on a été en contact? Est-ce qu'on aurait pu faire quelque chose? En tout cas, c'est une situation qui met les intervenantes au jour le jour dans des situations épouvantables.
Ruba Ghazal, spokesperson for the second opposition group on the status of women, gave examples of two regions in Quebec with a dire lack of services for women fleeing violence.
En Abitibi-Témiscamingue, il y a deux projets qui sont arrêtés, un à Lasard et un à Rouyn-Noranda. À Rouyn-Noranda, là, l'appel pourrait commencer aujourd'hui. Là. La ministre, elle pourrait juste le décider et l'appel pourrait creuser pour faire sortir de terre une maison d'hébergement qui pourrait sauver la vie de femmes. À Lasard, le projet Emerald n'est plus garanti. Ça n'a pas de bon sens. Les maisons d'hébergement la plus proche de la SAR, c'est à 100 km.
Third opposition critic on housing, Joel Arsenault, said it's time the government make good on 2021's promises and get building.
Et les projets sont prêts à démarrer, sont prêts à construire. Il y en a plusieurs. On a parlé du nombre d'unités. Le gouvernement, à mon point de vue, doit agir prestement, rapidement. Il peut le faire par décret. Le temps de développer un programme qui va être adapté aux besoins qui est identifié et qui a fait l'objet, encore une fois, d'un engagement formel de la part du gouvernement en 2021. Le gouvernement doit livrer maintenant.
The Minister of Housing had recently cited cost concerns, but Pontel points out that second-step housing is not the same as social housing, and it requires more resources.
We shouldn't have a price for the lives of women and kids who are at risk of homicide.
Pontel told CJLO that without more spaces built now, the entire network to support victims of conjugal violence is crushed.
So my first question is about the government's failure to open new shelter spaces and particularly the second step and what effect this has on the network of people looking for shelter shelter from violence.
So it's very important to understand that here in Quebec we have like a continuum of services when it comes to, you know, like intimate partner violence, and right now 45% of the call that women will do to SOS Violence Conjugale, so the emergency provincial line, it's a refusal. They can't refer them anywhere because the shelter, the emergency shelter, are full capacity. And when we are looking at our numbers in a second stage shelter, like our rate of refusal is close to 60%. So when it comes to, you know, like the continuum of services, if there's no new places, the continuum is crumbling.
And
we are like close to, you know, like a crash, a big crash.
And what's your response to the government's argument that the financial burden of the projects is too high?
I'm sorry to laugh. Like, you know, like we have a prime minister who consider that there's no price for like our seniors. And I think it's a wonderful thing, but we shouldn't have a price for the life of women and kids who are at risk of homicide. So, you know, like, I know that right now, you know, like our projects are like between 800 and 700 and 900 million dollars, 800 million, yeah, sorry, I'm sorry. Like, you will have to cut with that because, like, I'm very bad with numbers.
No problem, I'll check.
So, So the door, because, like, the problem is that, like, the government is looking at our project the same way they are looking at project of, like, social housing. But we're not social housing. So when they said that it's, like, the costs are higher, it's true. And hopefully the costs are, like, higher because we have to protect women and kids. So we need to have, like, those, you know, like, safety infrastructure to welcome those women and kids who are fleeing violence. So we need spaces of intervention as well. We need, you know, a community kitchen, collective laundry. We need all those spaces because, like, shelters are not just housing. They are, like, places of intervention. And, like, we consider that, you know, like, the unit where the women and the kids, they will live is part of the intervention as well. So we have to see the shelters are not social housing because we are not social housing. And, like, this is the reason why we, like, they evaluate that our costs are, like, more expensive than, you know, like, normal social housing projects.
Right. And what immediate, excuse me, ooh, I've been talking a lot today. What immediate actions do you believe need to be taken first to strengthen the continuum?
I think that, you know, we get the three provincial network of shelters gathered around this idea of, we need more spaces, we need more units to make sure that the continuum of services won't crash. So we know that if we want to give more access to victims of violence, we need to create more space. This is, like, you know, like, as simple as that. So now, like, what we know is that, like, in 2021, the government, you know, like, made a promise about, like, creating new spaces and new units of second stage shelter. And the only thing that we're asking is that, you know, like, go ahead and, you know, like, make it concrete and real. So this is the first step. We need to create more spaces and more units of second stage shelter to make sure that we can give access to, you know, like, women and kids who are, like, looking for safety and security and who are looking to leave, you know, like, a house with violence. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my last question is, I've only been a reporter in Montreal for a few years now. I'm a recent graduate. So I'm wondering if this situation now, in terms of how many people SOS Violence is sending away, the housing, is this the worst it's ever been? Or has it kind of gotten better and worse with different governments?
I will say that during the pandemic, it was, like, atrocious. But I think that, you know, like, what we see is that the needs are in constant, you know, like, increase. And we can't, I think that with the pandemic, like, we had, like, a collective awakening. And, you know, like, with the femicides, the population was, like, more, you know, like, they were witnessing what are the true consequences of, you know, like, violence against women. So I think that now we see more and more women who are coming out, who are denouncing violence. And it's a good thing because that means that more women are living situation of violence, but we need to have, like, services in place, and we need to have, like, places to send them to make sure that they will be safe. So the needs are in constant, you know, like, rise, and it's something to consider. It's not that the problem is worse. It's more, I think, more than, you know, like, the situation is more known, and that women will seek for help more often than before.
Okay. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me.
And we're
back. So my first question is about...
Well, now we're really back. You're listening to The Get Up on CJLO Radio, Montreal's favorite radio station and programming on 1690 AM on the AM dial. You're listening. This is Gary.
And Barry on The Gary and Barry Show. Gary, we got a big weekend here in Montreal. Best city in the world.
Best city in the world.
As some say. Brian Mulroney, former PM of Canada, has passed, as you may have heard. Funeral's tomorrow. I never really liked the guy, but he was an important man.
He was an important man. And so I guess we should pay tribute. I understand this. From America, I didn't know the guy so well, as much as you do. But everybody will be paying their respects.
At the Notre Dame Basilica of Montreal, 11 a.m. tomorrow.
Tomorrow. This is a very, very big weekend in the city. Barry, what else do we have going on?
Tomorrow, as well, we have the Miniatures Festival. Tomorrow and Sunday, all weekend long, at 2953 Rue Bélanger. The Miniatures Dollhouse Exhibition, Sale, and Festival happening in Montreal. If you like small, real small, tiny models, houses.
Barry, I love the smaller the better. I used to collect small things like small paintings, small chairs. I would hide them all over the show. My friends back in the day would know. If you're listening, call in. Call in and tell me.
What's our phone number, Gary? Remind the listeners.
The listeners, for listeners listening, call in to the booth at 514-848-7471. That's 514-848-7471.
Share your thoughts, your feelings.
Tell us where you're from.
Just say hello. It's as simple as that. We've also this weekend got the Greek Independence Day Parade right here in Montreal in Park Extension neighborhood. We're going to have more PMs, the PM Justin Trudeau, as well as the Prime Minister of Greece. I'm actually not...
You're kidding me.
I can't make this up, Gary.
You cannot make this up? Prime Minister of Greece is coming here
For the Greek Independence Day Parade in Montreal.
I'm surprised he's not in Greece.
I know, it's very shocking, but it's a decision that he made to be with the Hellenic community in Montreal. It's going to be quite an affair. There's going to be an orchestra. There's going to be food. There's going to be music. So come pay tribute if you want tomorrow it's not tomorrow. It's on Sunday. I'm getting everything wrong today, Gary, with the dates and the times. It's hard to keep track with all that's happening in this town.
Barry, I don't really want to spread that fake news, but there's actually, the celebrations will commence on Saturday, tomorrow at 10 a.m. They will also continue on Sunday morning at 10:30.
Thank you, Gary. I really appreciate the clarification.
That's right. There will be multiple different types of celebrations. Please show up for a very important Greek community here in Montreal.
We got a bit of sad news as well.
A big blow.
Drawn-in Quarterly on April 8th will be closing their children's bookstore. They're still keeping the main flagship store, but they've got two locations on Bernard Avenue, and the children's store will be closing after 8 years.
That's too terrible, Barry.
It's
what
just
awful news.
Awful, awful.
I gotta say, I love Drawn In Quarterly, and I do have a future in the children's book industry, and I just want to say that a future. Well, we've got some things in the works. I'm not going to talk about much, but we've got some things in the works. For somebody who wants to enter the industry, I can only imagine it must be a little bit of a hard time. Barry, any thoughts? What's the weather like?
The weather? That's a real good question. Give me a moment.
Of course. I think I throw you for a loop there. I do know that it is minus 10, and I'm sure
it's still minus 10. It's still minus 10. I just want to get it as accurate as possible.
Because we know that things change with the wind.
Oh, it's minus 10 still. You were right. But it feels like minus 16 with the wind. And it's a very rare event. this cold weather at this time of year, especially considering the winter we've had, the winter that wasn't. Wind blowing at 13 kilometers per hour. Humidity at 46%. This afternoon's going to feel like minus three degrees. Overnight, it's going to get down to -7 with snow.
With snow?
Snow. A bit of snow overnight.
Barry, I did not pack my crampons to Montreal. What are we going to do? This is
Gary,
too terrible.
We got to just stay inside. It's too hot out there.
Barry, you want to cozy up this weekend inside, indoors? No, we won't be doing that because there are
too much happening, Gary.
There's too much
happening
in the city.
I'd be missing out on my one weekend here in Montreal.
Yes, we will be. We'll see you at all these events that we've just shouted out, hopefully, if we can make all of them. But for now, I think we're going to have to play some music and wrap up the
hour.
That's
wonderful, Gary. Pleasure as always.
Pleasure as always. We've been listening to some music today. I haven't said any of it. The first one was Asia West by Hassan Kai. We listened to some songs by Black Star Lina. And we're going to get into Not For Sale by Sudan Archives and People Not Places by Invincible.
Gary, you surprise me with your cosmopolitan music taste.
That's right, that's right. I am a musician. When I jump on here and I play some songs, I understand that's a DJ. DJ
disc
Gary.
Disc jockey.
A disc jockey. That's where that comes from. Now I understand.
You didn't know that, Gary.
I didn't know. I was looking at disc jockey equipment over here, and right next to me, I didn't
and
put two
and
two together.
You're a disc jockey yourself, and you didn't even know.
Wild labels.
That's
labels.
The things you learn on radio.
That's why I love it. Community radio, keeping us sharp, keeping us with it, keeping us busy on the weekend.
You're listening to The Gary and Barry Show on CJLO 1690 AM here in Montreal, also known as Montreal's favorite radio program.
Please call in at 514-848-7471 on any show to put in the good word that you want to hear Gary and Barry again. And hopefully we'll see you soon.
Happy weekend. Thanks for listening.
Something. I need to be free. Time to spread my wings. I don't like leeches. All that nonsense gon' get back with ya. Don't got time for snitches. You're pulling me down, but you was my sister. My strings propagate through space and time, here and there at the same time. Just in basic rhyme, you ain't gotta be mad. Look deep and go higher when you climb. But stay out of my path, but stay out of my flight path. Never feeling lonely, only gliding, flying. Always being constantly reminded. Time is running up, don't waste your luck, sucker. This is my life, don't mess that up. This is my life, don't block the sun. This is my seat, can't you tell? My time, don't waste it up. This is my land, not for sale. Desert air blowing through my hair. As we blow through the square, we don't even care. Dirt roads and bare feet, tied to memories so sweet. Mesmerized men at my feet. Let's go to the top, just you and me. As the sun hides and fog takes over, I called it African November. Don't wait for me, son. Don't wait for me. Don't wait for me, summer. No, don't wait for me. strings propagate through space and time, here and there at the same time. Hand images and basic rhyme, you ain't gotta be mad. Look deep and go higher when you climb, but stay out of my path, but stay out of my flight path. Never feeling lonely, only gliding, flying, always being constantly reminded. Time is running up, don't waste your luck, sucker. This is my life, don't mess that up. This is my light, don't block the sun. This is my seat, can't you tell? This is my time, don't waste it up. This is my land, not for sale.
But it speaks to the sand, all Jews, law of return, I don't seem to understand. A land without a people, for people without a land. But I see a man standing with a key and a deed in his hand. Museum of the Holocaust, walking outside in the distance, all ghosts throwing a Molotov. Houses burn with kerosene, mass graves, couldn't bear the scene. It wasn't a pogrom, it was the ruins of Deir Yassin. Shopping at the Kenyon Malha, built it on the back of the town Al Malha. Wishing we could call its name, appalled by the change. And now a marvel of chains is all that remains. My evil misses people, not places. Has she seen the towns with names in Arabic, the evil of places? The policies is evil, the racist, deceitful and heinous. You'll never be a people slave with legal displacement. Rolling a wish, then sticking in between a hole in the bricks. I'm feeling more than melancholy. This used to be the Moroccan quarter until we stopped them short. And now they grandkids is the ones that storm rocks of borders. I ain't wanna play and I don't pray often, so I'm A-walling. While you making native sons feel like a stranger in their homeland, like James Baldwin. This ain't about a Quran or a synagogue, a mosque, a Torah. Colonizers break it into acres and dunhams, erasing the culture when they change Haifa to Haifa. Change Jaffa to Yafo, the old city left to haunt. Hummus pronounced hummus, we ate in the restaurant. Next hit the discotheque, yes we on the list of guests. Palestinians can't get in, it's blatant disrespect. Cops stop us for speaking their languages, it's dangerous to repeat it when we're history, we disconnect. My Ema misses people, not places. Has she seen the towns with names in Arabic, the Hebrew of places? The policies is evil, the racist, deceitful and heinous. You'll never be a people slave with legal displacement. To build a wall, not a future enclosed. Settlement spreading like cancer and toxic sewage polluted the roads. Not full of checkpoints that superimpose the truth and it shows. Village ruins overgrown with planted trees. Who'd have thought the desert blooms a tuber spot? I can't believe it ain't environmental. Disguising lies, accepting lives like manatees. Calling it a transfer, please. More like a catastrophe. Birthright towards recruiting them, confuse them into moving in. Claim it's only names and words, but denying the root of them. Power been abusing it, I passed never excusing them. 60 years since 48 and 40 since Jerusalem. My boy Shaddy wanted to visit us so badly. He lied he's diabetic to see it for 5 seconds. 194 ruled the courts in the case. Mom, you can't disconnect the people from the importance of place. My Ema misses people, not places. Has she seen the towns with names in Arabic, the Hebrew of places? The policies is evil, the race is deceitful and heinous. You'll never be a peaceful state with legal displacement.
Got the music in me, baby.
Cigarettes after sex. Live in Montreal, X's World Tour. Bell Center, Saturday, August 31st. Get tickets now at Evenko.ca. The brand new album, X's, is available everywhere July 12th. For more, visit cigarettesaftersex.com.
It's easy to say I'll be there when you call. I could have told you that.